Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of our Lord. A wise man once said to me, "There are times in life in which we experience death, but there is always a resurrection." This man was not talking about a literal death, but rather he was speaking about those times in our lives in which we feel as if a part of us has died. He was referring to those traumas in life that cause us to suffer and feel heart-wrenching pain. What he was pointing out, though, was that regardless of how much suffering or heart-wrenching pain we endure, death never speaks the last word to us. There is always a resurrection. And that is the truth and beauty of Easter. The truth is there will be a bloody and painful death on Good Friday. And the beauty is that come Sunday morning, there will be a resurrection. We are Easter people following a resurrected Christ. And the truth and beauty of Easter remains just as relevant for our lives as it was for Christ many, many centuries ago. There are difficulties we face in life that inflict deep wounds upon us. There are setbacks that are absolutely devastating, and hardships that rob us of our joy. Pain and suffering is inevitable in life, but death never speaks the last word to us. Our God is a God of resurrection power. God is always creating new life out of death. God always has plans to take the brokenness of our lives, the broken pieces of our lives, and create something beautiful with them. God's intention is always to bind up our brokenness and to make us whole again. Vance Havner, a well-known Baptist minister, once said, "God uses broken things, broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter, weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever." God meets us in the brokenness of our lives, in the most broken places of our lives, in the most broken areas of our hearts, and creates a resurrection. There was a segment that I watched on CBS Sunday Morning several years ago, and it was about a man named Nick Vujicic. And you all may be familiar with his story or his New York bestseller book, Unstoppable. Nick was born in Melbourne, Australia, without arms or legs, and he was given no reason for this medical condition. His mother stated that she took every precaution during the pregnancy, never even drank coffee or tea. Nick, who is now 31, faced countless obstacles and struggles while growing up. At age 6, he was given a set of prosthetic limbs to help him adapt, but he later refused them, said he was better off without them. He continued on his own, trying to keep up with everyone else. He taught himself how to cook, how to swim, how to play ball with his head. But despite all he did in trying to keep up with everyone else, the curious looks soon turned into bullying. At age 8, the bullying resulted in Nick coming home almost every day after school crying. And when his parents would take him to school, oftentimes he would refuse to go in, or he would hide in the gardens. And at age 10, it led to Nick attempting suicide. During bath time, Nick asked his father to leave him alone for a few minutes. And after his father closed the door, Nick slid under the surface of the water and he rolled over. He was face down. And while he laid face down in the water, attempting to drown himself, there was an image that came to his mind. And he saw an image of his mother and his father and his brother. And they were standing over his grave and they were weeping. So he couldn't go through with it. After that, Nick decided to embrace his disability and has found a way around almost every obstacle. He can now type 60 words a minute. He surfs. He restores old cars. He skydives. And he travels all around the world as a motivational speaker and as an evangelist. He has traveled to over 60 countries, and he's traveled throughout the United States to numerous orphanages and prisons and schools and stadiums, sharing his story and his testimony. In 2005, Nick created a foundation called Life Without Limbs, which focuses on helping people that are struggling with silent troubles. Nick stated during that segment, "I have seen the grace of God. I have seen him take even the most broken pieces of my life and make it into something beautiful. And I think I went through that, so I could share that story with the world as well, because there are a lot of hurting people out there." The segment ended by showing clips of Nick at his wedding reception, dancing with his smoking hot wife. His wife is absolutely beautiful. And at the very end of the segment, they announced that they had fallen pregnant after the honeymoon, and that the sonograms show that the child had 10 toes and 10 fingers. Our God is a God of resurrection power and is always creating new life out of death. God always takes the broken places of our lives and creates something beautiful with them. God's intention is always to take our brokenness, to bind up our brokenness, and to make us whole again. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book called Victorious Christian. It's about a woman named Fanny Crosby. She's the author of over 8,000 songs, including some that we still sing in churches today. In fact, Fanny Crosby wrote so many songs that she had to write under a pseudonym in order to have her music continue to be published in the hymnals. At 6 weeks of age, Fanny Crosby came down with a minor eye inflammation. She was taken to the local doctors to be treated. The doctor that was treating her used the wrong medicine, and it caused her to become immediately and permanently blind. Interviewed years later, Fanny Crosby stated that she harbored no bitterness or resentment towards that doctor. She stated that if she could meet him, that she would thank him over and over again. She felt that as if her blindness was a gift from God that allowed her to be able to write these songs that flowed from her pen. Our encounters with the resurrection power of God may not be as elaborate or dramatic as Nick Vujicic or Fanny Crosby's story, but we all have our own resurrection story. We have all experienced God meeting us in the brokenness of our lives, and we have witnessed him creating new possibilities, new beginnings, new life for us. The resurrection power of God that we celebrate on Easter morning is not just something that we celebrate once a year. It is something that we celebrate all throughout our lives. God always has a resurrection story in mind for each one of us. Having been born and raised in the South, never living a day in my life above the Mason-Dixon line until I moved here 1 year ago, my encounter with Holy Week this year has been vastly different than previous years. This year, as I prepared for Holy Week and anticipated Easter, I was captivated by how closely our natural world up here in the frozen north acts as a metaphor for Holy Week. We endure extremely long or extremely cold winters here. The total average snowfall is far greater than any amount of snow that I've ever witnessed in all of my years combined. And you guys' winter lasts forever. It was snowing this morning. In the South, spring has already sprung. The Bradley pear trees have already blossomed their beautiful white flowers. The cherry blossoms and the dogwoods are already in full swing. People are most likely already laying outside tanning at this point. So as I did take notice of our natural world over this past week and a half and witnessed the snow receding and life returning to Earth's surface, I couldn't help but think about how it perfectly symbolized the events of Holy Week. During those long and cold winters that we endure, everything seems so dead and lifeless. The leaves on the trees fall off, and it leaves our world colorless and barren. The snow arrives, and it blankets the land, and it stays for an eternity. There are some places in Westfield where the ground was frozen more than 41 inches below the earth's surface. That is over 3 feet. Yet, when the snow finally does melt and when it recedes away, sure enough, there is life under there after all. You can immediately see the green daffodil buds breaking through the ground. All the while that we were enduring that long, cold winter, our natural world below the surface was still very much active and generating new life. We just couldn't really see it quite yet. Similarly, this is what we experience during Holy Week. On Good Friday, we experience the cold death of our Lord. And on Sunday morning, we experience new life as he is raised from the dead. And we experience this in our own personal lives. There are long, agonizing deaths that we face at certain times in life. Traumas that leave us feeling somewhat lifeless, feeling as if the pain lasts for an eternity. But all the while that we're enduring that agonizing death, God is still very much at work below the surface, generating new life with plans to raise us up. The Apostle Paul's words to the Ephesians are exceedingly appropriate for us this morning. Paul says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Ephesians adds to our astonishment this Easter morning. The mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is in fact God's power for us who believe him. While we celebrate the resurrection power of God this Easter morning, let us rejoice in knowing that that same power is available to each and every single one of us, that no matter what trials or tribulations we face in life, death never speaks the last word. There is always a resurrection. And thanks be to God that we are Easter people, that we have the message of the resurrection to clutch on to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.